It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
With the possible exception of, like, hi or what's up or something, do you know what sentence I said the most today at work?
No.
I said, it's pronounced Bethandronasia.
Oh. Why'd you have to say that so often?
I didn't actually have to.
Oh, okay.
But to be fair, I did say it in good faith with genuine expectations and reasons for it. I think we've touched on this before. I'm somewhat famous in my workplace for my timesheet reminder emails that I send out. And today, I wrote one. I've cracked the code to making them the most popular.
Okay.
Don't plan. Don't think about it while I'm typing. Just, like, pull it out of the air at the moment. And for some reason, those are the ones. The ones that, like, I thought of a week ago and I've been, like, plotting out and I think are really good, nobody cares. But then the ones that I just totally made up off on the spot are very popular. So, yeah, today is involved an old woman and finding a magic baby river turtle and was going to grant her wishes, but then she had to fill out her timesheet and she didn't do it right, and so she murdered the turtle. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, the old woman's name was Bethandronasia.
Oh.
Because in my attempts to make sure I don't ever accidentally use the name of an employee and then imply that they are turtle murderers or something, I maybe sometimes go a little too far in my quest. I did this before with a couple of other characters one time, and people didn't notice as much, but today they noticed Bethandronasia.
Okay.
And yeah, there's the proof of my story also right there. The fact that I have said it so many times is how I can so easily say it.
Sure.
Now.
That's right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world with 12 mascots, not counting the hat itself, but we've just never introduced them on the air or anything. We got them. We paid money for them, but we haven't used them yet. We're waiting for the right time.
None of them are racist.
Anymore. There was one, there was not a picture included originally. We bought it internationally, and but we sent that right back.
Right back.
Yes. It was, if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been so big, it might not have been nearly, I mean, it still would have been not okay, but, like, that was just kind of,
yeah,
over the top.
I guess I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, no, that was, that caught my eye immediately. I was whoa.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think this is funny to anyone else? It's hilarious to you and me. Like, I don't know if anybody else. I'm like, hilarious. I'm having a great time.
I know,
I'm
it
like,
is hilarious to me.
But I feel like if you weren't included in the bit, this would just be boring as hell.
I don't know.
This is proof, people.
We just do
we
what
don't
we
do the show for you.
No, we just
we
do what
do
we
for
do.
Us. Half the time we're not sure that the mics are on. We don't know. We've actually done 1,200 episodes. You just get the ones that we accidentally ended up recording. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 363.
So we're still not there yet.
No. We're not there yet. Craig is waiting.
We're getting better, but we are not good yet. I guess in that case, you can't say better. You have to say, like, less bad.
But since we had to do a since we had to do
classic,
a rerun, yeah, classic episode.
We're spinning it.
Do we have to, or do we technically haven't made it until we get to 66? Is that how it's working?
Oh, I don't, did Craig have a thing with 365, because, oh, to make him not a liar, yeah. No, because you can listen to that episode. That episode happens to be...
It's a numbered episode now.
And from it's a purely technological standpoint, it's not an identical file. Because I said some shit at the beginning. Okay. So, I mean, they are their DNA, as it were, is not exactly the same.
So Mark listened to it and put notes in it like he was hearing it for the first time. I thought that was kind of cool. I was tempted to go back.
I swear to God, I had no idea what that last word in the sentence was going to be until you got to it. Oh. I was following that whole time, and I'm like, yeah, you thought that was kind of... The only one I had was Mark. I thought that was kind of Mark.
No, I didn't... I should have gone back to the original and seen what notes he put in that, if any. See if they were similar, or if he made different notes this time.
This is weird. Back in 2012, he was posting as though he was an 11-year-old girl. Wow, he has really changed in his commentary style.
I'm just gratified that he listened to it a second time.
I'm psyched because I think he... Well, I don't know now. As of a week or two ago, he was caught up.
Well, yeah, but in a way...
And that was awesome for him.
In a way, he could have said he was caught up without even listening to that one. Because he'd listened to it before.
That is true. But he knew the files were not identical. Okay. He compared the properties.
Sure, sure.
Whatever. And he's like, there's... kilobytes worth of shit over here. More. Bonus content.
Whatever.
I like that in my little play here, sometimes Mark is Mark, and sometimes Mark is like a stand-in for me. Like, he's just my tool I use. Is that your ride? Do you have to...
You know, I'm not even sure people can hear that, so they don't even get your joke.
No. But I get it.
That's kind of a dad joke, though.
It came from Kevin Pollak, so I'm not going to argue that. I don't believe he has any kids, but he's such a dad.
Okay.
All right, so, for those of you just joining us, this is the part of the show where William gets my food. Doesn't happen very much anymore. We work to avoid it, but sometimes... Thank you. Yes! He's sick of your crap. No, he just got the delivery guy. For those of you who didn't catch it, the producer said, did William just leave?
Cause she heard the door. And then she called me Jesus? Is that what
I heard? No, she said, oh, well, I guess maybe, yeah. It's not Jesus, it's William. Wow.
Well.
We clearly lost our evangelical listeners on that one.
Except he gets a cake at Christmas and I don't.
Nobody gives you a cake.
Nope, at Christmas. I don't get a cake at Christmas.
That is sad. I'm going to talk to your wife. You should at least get a cake.
I know.
Maybe anyway. A little cake, you know? Like one of those small ice cream cakes. That'd
sure.
be good.
Well.
Wait. Oh. At our house. I went back and I was like, Santa gets a cake? No, wait, we're talking about Jesus. Who do we worship? What's happening? Hail Satan.
Did you ever hear of that person that went to Japan and they saw some crucifixes with Santa Claus on them?
No, but I'm not at all surprised.
I would totally buy one of those.
Yeah. Except over there, he's called Seasonal Gift Man. That's from old Simpsons. With John Waters in it. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, it won't get better. Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, the greatest generation, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its electrifying servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except when, like, the first 50 minutes is usually whatever movies we saw.
Or TV shows or like, whatever.
Don't ask us why you should be listening. Ask the people who are listening. We love them for it, but we don't get it.
Don't get it.
Like, this podcast is not for everybody, including us. We don't care for this particular podcast.
No.
But sure fun doing it. So, how was your week?
It was all right. You know, we saw The Circle just last
night. Oh, really?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it wasn't very good.
It just felt very heavy-handed, and so I ended up just reading the synopsis instead
of
seeing it.
What I would say about it is, I said this about another film recently. I won't say which one because I don't want to get started. But it felt like the first draft of the script, and someone really should have, you know, with a few tweaks, they could have made it better. But
I got to admit, I don't know what it is, but I have a thing against Kate Mara. Like, it's not based in anything. I think I saw her in something one time, and I didn't like the performance for some reason, and now I just, I don't know why, but I don't like her.
Who does she play in it?
The main character, I believe.
No, that's, Emma Watt? Wait.
Oh, shit, you're right. Sorry,
Emma Watson. Is that the right name?
Yeah, no, you are right. I don't know why I got Kate Mara in my head. In fairness, they look similar. And she looks more like her in that movie. But no, I am sorry. I was totally thinking of
that movie. She does a great American accent.
Wow. That's rare in a Brit.
I think she's actually a better actor with an American accent.
That feels racist.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. There were some scenes where her acting was a little off, but I'm very confident it was the direction. I think the director in general didn't do a great job with the film, but I think it could have been really compelling and interesting. Mm. I'll bet if you read the book, you'd be a lot more impressed, which, you know, that's typical, I know, but sometimes you can make a compelling film out of a compelling book, but you really have to have good direction, and I don't think the director quite got it right. Seems like there was another film we saw. No, I don't remember. We did see, I wanted to tell you because I don't know if you're going to watch it. We did see the first episode of, Carbon. What's the?
Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon. And we didn't like the pilot episode, so we haven't watched any more
yet. I do plan to watch it just because I liked the books. Actually, I liked and hated the books. But I liked the first book more than the other two. And the first season is that book. And I've also been told that it is quite a spectacle.
Okay, well.
I've also been told it has sort of a mind-bogglingly silly amount of nudity in it and sex.
Oh, I don't.
A lot of the issues with it, I think, may just be issues with the original material, and I handled that okay. I plan to watch it. Stu, I think, just finished it. He really liked it. I plan to, but, you know, it's on the list with other TV shows. Trish does not plan to. And so when that happens, you know, I have to get around to bothering to do it
myself.
Well,
we might continue watching it because we have some other friends that said they liked it. But again, the pilot did not impress us at all, but maybe.
I want to say somebody said the first two episodes were a little wonky. Oh, no, wait. I think I'm mixing that with somebody who was talking about The Good Place.
I told you we saw that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah, I got some friends who just started. And they're like, and he was like, after the first two episodes, I was like, this is all embarrassment comedy, and I don't like that. And I was like, well, maybe it'll change. And I kept watching, and it doesn't change, but it's still worth it because the performances are amazing.
I don't usually like that kind of comedy either, but I didn't have a problem with it at all. So that's weird. You know, I know there's a film that we saw even earlier that I could have brought up, and I've just forgotten, but maybe you'll see it or it'll come up some other
time. I don't know. I don't think I watch movies. I saw two movies I want to talk about.
And also, Black Panther is one of them, I take it?
Black Panther is definitely one of them.
Okay.
Should we start with the Black Panther here?
Well, whatever you like.
Black Panther's very good. You should go see it. Everybody should go see it. I mean, okay. Again, as I said, like with Wonder Woman and other things, if you like superhero movies, go see it.
Yeah.
Although this one, even if you're lukewarm about superhero movies, because this one is very self-contained and to a degree feels different As opposed to most of the MCU ones that are all starting to kind of feel the same. Like, they're all good, but the whole thing feels like they're hitting specific beats blah, blah, blah. This one feels less like that. And some of that may just be that it's not a sequel, because Jonathan Strange also felt less like that. And Ant-Man, even though I didn't particularly care for it, definitely felt less like that. So it could just be that. But in any event, it is very good. It is. I mean, I love what's happening politically. The movie itself is wonderful. Probably one of the best of the MCU films. I think I liked it more than Trish. Trish brought this up, and I agreed with the last act is a little bit of a mess, in my opinion. Mm. Things go from 0 to 60 to zero in various ways, really suddenly, and it all just the pacing feels weird. Yeah, it a little bit feels like they just had trouble ending it. Also, there is one particular side character's arc that I'm just not believing. But outside that, it's a great movie. It has... Okay, and this is the best thing about this movie. And I don't care what you say. This is absolutely the best thing. Have you heard about the two white actors in it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing going around about that. Have you heard that?
Just
there's a joke going around?
A joke. I mean, all I know is they're not in it very much.
Yes. They're... Some, but yeah, they definitely aren't the main characters. There are exactly two characters with actual speaking roles that are white in the movie. Here's the thing about that. It's Martin Freeman and Andy Serkis, who have both already been in MCU stuff. They're still playing the same characters they played before. Both of them do quite a commendable job. Now you see, if you'll remember correctly, Martin Freeman was Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit films.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Serkis was Gollum in both the Hobbit films and the Lord of the Rings film.
That's right.
You know what this means?
No.
They're the Tolkien white guys.
Oh, cute.
That's the best joke ever.
That's cute.
That is I love that joke. I'm like, they both did really well. Even if they did crappy, it's worth casting them just for that joke. Love that joke so hard.
It's a good one.
But they do a great job. Lot of women in this movie in real roles, three-dimensional characters, agency stuff. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably the best thing about it. Great performances all around. The dude from Get Out is in it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put it together until I saw the credits. I was like, holy shit. I always say the dude from Get Out because his first name is Daniel and his last name is one I have a hard time pronouncing. It's funny, though, very few of the main characters are African. Lupita Nyong'o, of course, is.
Sure.
But, yeah, the guy from Get Out is actually British.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who plays T'Challa, the main character, is American. Michael B. Jordan's American. The woman who plays Michonne on The Walking Dead, which I don't watch, but I know that's a big character, is in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the one I found out was born in Grinnell.
Really?
Her parents are Nigerian. Her father was a professor of chemistry at Grinnell at the time.
Hmm.
And she was born there.
Hmm.
And then one other actress is actually from Ghana. So, like, she's actually African. And she's my favorite character. She plays Shuri, Black Panther's little sister.
Hmm.
And she's awesome. And she has the best lines. And I love her to death. But they're all awesome. The general heading the army, that's the one who plays Michonne. She's amazing. Lupita Nyong'o is great. Her character, it's the love interest, but there's a lot of character there. We do not spend much time at all on romance.
That's good.
I did not like Michael B. Jordan's the villain. I did not like. I felt like he had the same problem that a lot of other Marvel villains had, and that they were just uninteresting.
Mm.
Then I read some stuff from people who felt completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I've completely changed my mind, but it's making me think about it again. Mm-hmm. It's making me think about the character and the performance in a new light. And I mean, I think that's great. It's very thought-provoking, and I think that's great. I'm not going to spoil anything. I am going to say I kind of assumed, because the story takes place in Wakanda, which is this African nation that is secretly very rich and technologically advanced, and they look like this little tiny poor country, and it's all isolated from everything, that we were sort of not going to touch on the fact that, like, the ramifications of that in our world. Like, what would that actually mean if that existed? I thought we were going to avoid race issues, because we were just going to have a lot of fictitious black people in a fictitious sci-fi African nation.
Mm-hmm.
We did not avoid issues. Mm. They are... I'm not going to say we hit new deep territory on it, but they are part of the main plot.
Mm.
And I was kind of impressed with them for doing that. Yeah, I can't wait till you see. I mean, I don't think we can talk about it on the air, but I want to talk to you about it. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. And beyond that, it's just awesome. There's an action scene that's one of my favorite in the movie so far. So badass. And again, also women being badass. Wonderful to see that.
Yeah.
There's some great lines. It's the whole thing's gorgeous. The special effects are amazing. There's a character in it that I'm convinced Chris Hemsworth is secretly jealous he doesn't get to play. And I mean, it's a black dude in an African... Like, it's a character that couldn't be white for so many reasons. But I'm like, I'll bet Chris Hemsworth is still like, man, I would love to play that. It feels like a very him kind of character. So yeah, I highly recommend it. It's not perfect, but it's very good. And I think both the good and the bad warrant conversation, as opposed to a lot of Marvel movies where you're like, what the fuck?
It's, yeah.
You know, superheroes, yeah. It's fine. Like, there's a lot of shit wrong with Ant-Man, but other than the stereotyping Cholo thing that Michael Peña's doing, there's not really anything in Ant-Man that requires real social discussion. This, a lot of stuff could come out of this. But I also just think it's awesome. So, check it out. The other movie I saw, just saw last night. It's another one of these, like Moana, that Trish saw without me at one point and decided it was awesome enough that she made me watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Elaine Stritch?
I might be, but I'm not familiar.
Elaine Stritch is an actress who started in Broadway, was a huge powerhouse in Broadway for like 50 years or whatever, but did lots of little... like cameos in shows and stuff like that. Most recently, she would best be known as Jack Donaghy's mother on 30 Rock.
Oh, yeah. She passed away.
She did.
While the show was still running.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. She was in lots of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I was suddenly remembering today she was in a very early Cosby Show episode as Rudy's teacher, and Cliff had to come and talked about how he shouldn't do her homework for her, and she made him write on the board, like, I will not do my child's homework, whatever, and he starts by these huge things, and she's like, I've been teaching for 50 years, you can't fool me with the big writing, so then he switches to this little tiny writing, and she, like, I don't know if it's sort of an outtake, or if they put it, but she had been very stern, and she had to look away from him and just start cracking up. It was wonderful. But especially after watching this, I'm really not sure if it was fake or not. She has... There's a documentary about her.
Oh, I see.
Called Elaine Stritch Shoot Me, I think. I think that's what it's called. It's on Netflix. If you put in Elaine Stritch spelled how you would think all that would be spelled, you'll find it. And yeah, she is just... I mean, I never saw her on Broadway or anything. I didn't realize that was a thing for her. But she is just woven through my history of entertainment to such a degree that I know her really well without being able to give you a lot of things,
right.
A lot of details. And she's amazing. And this is, coincidentally, this was like 6 months before she died, they made this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It was far enough away that there's no mention of it in it. And in fact, actually, it was in 2013. And James Gandolfini died, and James Gandolfini's in the documentary, so they actually dedicated it to him.
Mm.
But, like, very shortly after it came out, she died. But she's amazing, and she's had an amazing life, and the documentary's really well done. It's not a big political documentary or anything. It's a very much character study on her, but she's just awesome. So I recommend it to anybody. It's It's very cool. And it's funny, and it's said, and it's, yeah, it's just really well put together. There's, because she's still working when this is going on. She's working her butt off, and she's traveling and doing these shows and everything. And just as an example, actually, two examples I got, because I really like this thing. There's a scene, they've gotten to a place where she's going to be doing a show that night, and there's a scene where they're rehearsing, and she can't remember the words. And she eventually gets so frustrated that she's like, there's no point in rehearsing anymore. We'll do it tonight. We'll see how it goes. Whatever.
Okay.
And it's sad because there's a lot of stuff in the fact that she's 87. She's severely diabetic. She screws that up a fair bit with her habits, both eating and drinking. Mm. And she's still doing all this stuff, and she's so vivacious and all this, and then every once in a while she just has these problems. So it's kind of a rough scene. And then right after it, we have the performance that night, and she's great, she's luminous, she's wonderful, and she gets to that song, and she gets to that exact spot, and she plays out this great, this hilarious gag where she's like thinking about it, she's totally doing the thing, she's like, and then she occasionally looks at the pianist, and she's like putting out her finger like, don't tell me, and it's hilarious, and everybody's laughing, and she's smirking the whole time, and it is hilarious unless you're watching it as a documentary, and then it's also kind of a gut punch at the same time, because I'm like, that's not a bit she invented. She genuinely is having trouble, but she's playing it off so perfectly that everybody's laughing.
And just
weird, like, she does this very old woman thing at one point where she gets mad at the cameraman because he's like, you're supposed to be filming. And she did this thing where she was going out in the other room to set something down, and she came back in, and he didn't follow her. And so they go through this whole argument about it. And, of course, the documentarian, the guy agreed to do, they'd back up and sort of do it again. Mm-hmm. The documentarian didn't put that scene in. He did put the scene in where she argued with him about it. And so it's just very well made and very enlightening. And she's amazing, and there's a lot of great people in it. And it's probably the last film Gandolfini appeared in. I know it wasn't his last drama. I mean, it's a documentary. He's just there as him, but I'll bet it's possibly the last one.
I think The Circle was the last film Bill Paxton was in.
Oh, I forgot he was in that.
Mm-hmm. Just for a little bit.
Yeah. But so I highly recommend it. As per usual, if that sounds interesting to you. There are some people who are like, a documentary about an old person I don't know. No, thank you. Like, but to anybody else. And she's also one of those, like, Angela Lansbury that in my head, she came out of the womb 50. But you see older pictures in this, and I can't recognize her until somewhere around the late 70s. Unless she speaks. Any age, her voice is just, you can absolutely tell. Which is funny, because it gets rougher as she gets older, because she smoked a lot and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, nope, even when it's young and theoretically clear, I can absolutely pick it out. Yeah, and some of the old stuff, it was fun to see old, like, 1950s footage of Stephen Sondheim. Like, little baby Stephen Sondheim. That was weird to see, but very cool at the same time. Because, yeah, a lot of the stuff she does is Sondheim. She did a ton of that. Yeah, so I'd highly recommend that. I didn't remember to talk last time about my game
right.
that I'm running.
Yeah.
I'm currently only running it for 4 players because somebody's not able. They've been sick and stuff like that. And this game is so character-driven that I sort of, they have to be there for it to work.
Sure.
And basically, I mean, I literally gave them blank character sheets. It had a space for name, no name. It had a space for it's the fate system, so there are aspects and skills and notes, and that was it, and it was all blank. And I literally had them wake up in a barn with no memory of who they were, where they were, how they got there. And it was to the degree, and they had, it was such a hard time getting them to understand this, that they didn't know what they looked like, but they weren't aware of that. I was like, you can look at yourself or at each other, and you look normal. There's nothing weird or surprising. But it, you just, and I was trying to do, like, you just don't remember. And they kept trying to, like, hey, how come I keep forgetting what you look like as soon as, and I was like, no, it doesn't even occur to you. Like, you're just, it's just not a thing. Look normal, whatever. Like, it doesn't bother you that it doesn't bother you. And it was, it, part of it is, well, as I told them, a lot of their, okay, I'm going to spoil stuff on here because they don't listen. They're basically reincarnated goddesses, but reincarnated goddesses that may or may not have helped destroy the world. And now the world sort of doesn't exist except in these pieces. But one of the big things, as I have actually told them, is that their actions will literally shape reality in some ways. And in fact, that's part of what, they don't know this, but I have, because I don't know which is which god. I've got the goddesses, I've got the pantheon. I don't know which character is which at this point. Oh. And what I keep doing to a degree is, whenever they, I've determined the dispositions of those gods and goddesses, and when they do something that aligns with that, I make a little check mark on this chart I have. So whoever's going to get the most in this one will be this one, and that kind of thing. But very much their characters have to be defined, have to be defined by decisive action.
Sure.
They need to do things that say who they are. And this is a dangerous game to play with my group.
Why is that?
They don't like to say who they are when they've got a detailed character sheet.
Don't like to commit, huh?
Well, yeah, they're, a lot of my players are big fans of the, I like to play for a few sessions and get a feel of who the character is. And I kind of get that.
Sure.
But I'm like, sometimes you got to come in from a perspective.
Sure.
And in this time I told them, you got to come in from a perspective, but guess what? I'm also not going to tell you what that perspective is. And they have risen to the challenge.
That's good.
Including the one who's barely played any games before. They have really been doing well. They've really been establishing characters. The other thing that is not an issue is that they are not good at self-direction and showing initiative and so forth. You can't be too open-ended with them as to what's happening in the story. And that's fine. I am not. Like, I am bringing shit to them. I am not leaving clues. I'm having people just tell them what's happening. So they'll know what direction they need to go, and they can focus on defining the character. And so far, yeah, I've just been super pleased. It's very cool. So, that's neat. I feel like we should have more stuff, because it's only just barely after a half hour, and we're already ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
How weird.
I have to say, there's one thing about the whole...
All right, he's saving us here.
Black Panther thing that
yes.
makes me cringe a little whenever I hear about it. And it's the whole Wakanda thing.
Yeah.
Because, as you might know, Wakanda is a Native American term.
Oh, is it really? I did not know that.
Sui and Indian cultures, it's a spiritual concept. I mean, some people just say great spirit or whatever, but it's a little broader than that. It's like the, it's like a spirit that infuses everything kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to say very much about it because I, you know, I'm not of that culture and all. I just understand it a little bit. In the tribe that Iowa is named after, the Iowa, they're a Suian tribe, and Wakanda, they would spell it with an O in the second vowel space, and the Sioux, it's not pronounced Wakanda, it's pronounced some other way. But anyway, it's Native American.
Mm.
And so, you know, when in 66 or whatever it was, when Kirby and Stan Lee. Two white guys were sitting around trying to think of what this land would be called. They just thought, oh, Wakanda, that sounds cool. And, you know, so it's...
It's unfortunate. I imagine it's entirely a coincidence.
Oh, I don't think they heard that term.
No, because to me, it sounds like a very... It sounds like a generic African nation name.
That's the point. I mean... There are places called Wakanda Spring, Wakanda. There's some places in Des Moines called Wakanda, such and such. So it's not a word that wasn't used in places. So they could have easily heard it somewhere.
They could have. They easily could not. I mean, I don't think the idea that the Wakanda, like, couldn't spontaneously have been come up with either.
I suppose.
But it, either way, it is unfortunate.
Yeah. Most people don't know, and most people who find out about it don't seem bothered, but it bothers me a little bit. But that's, you know.
It's one of those things that seems like a... I understand why somebody would be bothered. Mm. I don't have enough connection to it. I mean, that's, you know, it's the... I don't find this offensive, but other people can be find like it offensive and that kind of thing.
I cringe every time I hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't. I'm not like outraged. I'm not going to see.
No. And I'm glad that you said something because I think that's.
Yeah.
I think that's information that should be put out there.
Well, it's not bad to know.
And anymore. And honestly, there's some pretty racist shit from the original Black Panther comics.
Sure.
Because it was the 60s and 70s, that they have worked around
well, one thing,
in the movie, and yet they haven't dealt with this, you know?
One thing I like is that, unlike, you know, we've been watching Black Lightning on CW.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I think is pretty good. But, you know, Black Lightning is called Black Lightning because he's a black guy.
Yes.
And that's technically true about Black Panther also, but in-world, that's not necessarily true.
In-world, it's not, because in-world, their deity is a Black Panther, who's the goddess Bast, and is a Black Panther, even though no Black Panthers exist in Africa.
Well, sure they do.
Well, or in that area, I don't know. It doesn't work, apparently.
Well, okay, so the term Black Panther is equivalent to the term Black Cat.
Yes.
It just means
there are panthers that aren't black, so
that's right.
Yeah.
But if a lion were or a tiger were to be born black, they would also be called black panthers because the panther just means a big cat.
Really? I thought that was a specific genus.
Nope. When you say black cat, you mean any black cat, any species or whatever, and black panther's the same.
Really? Yep.
So in Africa, if you find in Africa, if you find a black panther, it's a black leopard.
Okay.
And in the Western Hemisphere, it's a black jaguar. Now, unlike domesticated cats, where lots of species can be black, so far they think only jaguars and leopards seem to be black. Some people think that cougars are sometimes born black, but nobody knows of like a tiger being born black or a lion being born black. But if they were, they would also be black panthers, just like any species of black cat is called a black cat.
I'm fascinated by this. I'm also just enough of an American white guy that going through my mind, almost to shocking degrees, you are offering up so many sets for just the worst, most racist jokes. Like, well, every sentence, there's a little part of my brain that I hate that comes up with a zinger for every sentence you said there, and it's terrible.
But what I like about it is that you couldn't just call the superhero Panther, like, well, don't put black on there. Just don't make a big deal out of the fact he's black. No, it's Black Panther. That does denote the kind of panther we're talking about. So it's not the same as with Black Lightning, where the black only denotes the race of the superhero. So I do like that part of it. But,
I do think it's a little chicken and eggy.
Well, probably. You're probably right.
I think if they had gone with Panther, it just wouldn't be a Black Panther in the myth. But
a lot of people, when they hear Panther, they do think of a black.
And I absolutely do, too.
Regardless. Yeah. But, no, Panther
I did not. I had no idea. In fact, I could have sworn people before have corrected, like, that's not a Panther, that's a Jaguar, or something like that.
Well, all Black Panther means is black big cat. So a lion would be called a Black Panther if it was black. A tiger would be called that if it was black.
So, in other words, a lion is a Panther.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I did not.
Panther is just is like cat. You know, when you hear the word cat, you think of a little cat. Well, panther is a big cat.
I see.
Well, technically
sometimes a battle cat.
It's
sometimes a panthera.
It's the genus, or is it the fan? You know, it's Panthera or whatever is what it is.
Oh, they're a band.
No. But yeah, so far I think it's usually it's a leopard in Africa, and I guess just Africa, I don't know where other leopards are other than Africa, But in South America, they're jaguars.
And in Antarctica, it's a penguin. So a black leopard is actually a black penguin. Or sorry, black panther.
But you're saying panther, in the lore of the comic book and the movie?
Of the film. I don't know in the comic book. Oh, but the film. They you get a little the history of our place in okay. the beginning. Mm-hmm. And there's five tribes, and four of them get along, and they all worship Bast, the panther goddess, essentially.
Okay.
And then the other tribe, you find out, worships Hanuman, which annoys me because at one point somebody refers to one of them as a gorilla, and I'm like, no, that's an ape. Hanuman is a monkey. And I don't think that either of those were necessarily worshipped in the region in which Wakanda supposedly is.
Yeah.
So that was a little irksome. But, again, we're pulling from just such fucked up shit.
Yeah. But I mean, it's cool that,
and they did well. I mean, I think they did. There was not too much. There was some, but there was not too much exoticization. There was an attempt to not denote a particular style of African culture, which is good. But what it means is they also kind of mushed together a lot of things, kind of like Moana did.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a little weird, but I'm like, that was probably better than the other way around.
Well, and it helps that the people who made that decision and executed it were, you know, black people. Yeah. You know what I mean? It'd be absolutely one thing if white people, hey, let's just smash all these cultures together and treat it like one.
It'd look like Disneyland.
Yeah, but, you know, so it does kind of matter who does it. Like, I heard today, very good news, that Joss Whedon is not doing Batgirl.
Yep.
And also,
and straight up just said he couldn't figure out a story, which I'm like, eh.
And also that they might get a woman to do it. Now, one person online who I sometimes get entertainment news from thought that was unnecessary. They shouldn't have to get a woman. But she's...
What does that mean?
Well, the point she's making is that... And it's true. In an ideal world, you know, it will never matter. If a guy's directing or a woman's directing and the main person's a man or woman, it shouldn't matter. But that misses the point of the reality of our situation where, first of all, you should always give a woman a director's job if you can because not enough women are directors.
Absolutely.
That's point number one.
You should always give a woman insert occupation right, here, right. job, because there aren't enough. Because the breakdowns are not 50-50.
But second of all, the fact that it took a woman directing a Wonder Woman movie so that we didn't have the camera going all over her body and focused on her butt and stuff tells you that maybe we better keep women making superhero movies for a little while at least until the guys figure out, oh, I shouldn't put my shots together like that.
And also, and I think this says more about where I am in these things than anything else, because my view on that thing is, like, they're trying to do philosophical debate over the, it shouldn't have to be a woman.
Right, exactly.
My answer is, if your opinion is that it shouldn't matter which, then let's give it to a woman and you shut the fuck up. Because now is not the time.
Right, right. That's kind of what I
like,
think.
And that's the thing, is not everybody believes that now is not the time. But I'm like, we are doing shit right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We are on the verge of getting some shit fixed. So these hypothetical, it would be great if we just was... Well, it's not now. You talked about that shit for some decades. Pause it for a while. You can bring it up later once we've fixed all this shit.
But there are a lot of people who think that way. And
it's the all lives matter thing over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All lives do matter. It shouldn't matter which one. But there's shit going down where it matters right now, and we have to push in the other direction in the hope of evening things out.
But I wonder why people think, oh, no, we're done with that, right? They think we're done with sexism. We're done with... How can they think that? I mean, it's so...
Again, it's a very limited perspective thing, is if they don't see / choose not to see in their own lives. And Trish and I get bothered by this so much. Like... Or at least I do. Trish and I talk about getting bothered. I don't know exactly how bothered. Well, and you and I have too. It sometimes bothers me that I live a life where it's very easy to not be particularly racist and sexist. Because it makes me Like, I'm judging other people, but I'm like, yeah, but I'm not out there. Very seldom do I deal with people who aren't white. Very seldom do I deal with people who are in an like, overtly oppressive situation because they're women and stuff like that. Sure. There's shit going on, and Time's Up and Me Too and all that have opened my eyes even more to things that I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't even think about that. But like, the serious misogyny going on, I don't hang around with people who put up with that shit.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, and I don't hang around with tons of people. And if you're in that situation, and you're not questioning, and you're not thinking about perspective outside of your life, and you're not reading the stuff, you can think it's not a thing. Well, hell, I don't know what you'd call him. My father-in-law, my brother-in-law's dad.
Okay.
Was just talking the other night about when he was in the military, which would have been in like the 60s or whatever. And we had black guys in our company, and nobody mattered. They just treated everybody the same. And I left the room. Instead of saying two things about that. One, you don't know that it was okay. You know it was okay for you. You have no idea what they felt like.
Sure, sure.
And two, just because things were a certain way in your company does not mean they were that way in the entire army, let alone the entire country or world. What the fuck?
Or in the entire battalion.
And it's the same thing. It's like, I never saw a guy call a woman sugar tits or whatever. So it must not happen?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, not all men, by which I mean the four I hang with. There was a sketch on this season of Portlandia, which I do not like this season of Portlandia. It's been going down for a while. I'm glad the show is ending. I feel like they're just out of ideas. But they had one that I really loved, and it was a big board meeting situation, and the company was finally having its first female partner. It was a law firm, and they hadn't had one before. And they got her up to speak about it, and she was talking about, you know, there has been a lot of stuff to go through. There's a lot of been a sexism and misogyny in the environment in the decades I've been here. And one of the guys stops and says, but not me, right? I didn't do anything. She's like, no, you're fine. And it goes through everybody there.
Yeah, right.
And then it becomes a thing where she finally has to say, everybody in this room is good. None of you did anything. And a guy on the phone starts freaking out, and she didn't know he was on the phone, and so they make her apologize to him. Oh, God. And then there becomes a thing where they manage to end the sketch with a janitor walking by, and I think somebody's like, what about him? He's like, well, I don't know him, but yeah, he's fine. And they're like, oh, but you're not sure. Should we beat him up? Yeah, and all the guys decide to beat up the janitor. And I thought this was brilliant, and Trish did not find it funny at all. And I was like, why? And she's like, I mean, she said, I don't remember her exact, but it was basically too real. Like, she's like, I've been in that situation. Yeah, and I'm like, right, that does suck. I just find it funny because, again, I know people like that. And also, I was that guy back in the day. I was the not all men guy. It's like, I get that this is a systemic thing, but I'm cool, right? Like, A, no, and B, not the point. Shut up.
I guess that when I was in those situations, I had two thoughts. Either I would think, well, I know that I'm reasonably certain what she's saying doesn't apply to me because I don't think or feel that way. But also, I can't blame her for not thinking I do. See, I ran into this with my roommate in college. The first black person that I ever got to know was my roommate in college. And
I remember this was the riot coverage thing.
Well, no, that was another guy.
Oh, okay.
But
wow, you know a lot of black people.
But we were good. We were good friends when it started out, and then after a while, he talked to us less and less. Me and the other guy, two white guys, he was rooming with, and so I asked him. I said, "What? You know, did we do something to offend you, or what's going on?" And he said, "No, you just have to understand. You know, I'm from Chicago. And when I came here, you know, I thought it was just like Chicago, but it's not like Chicago. And pretty soon, you know, some white people don't treat you very nice. And then you start to be a little uncomfortable around.
And you're more comfortable in a group.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I totally understood that. And I didn't take it personally. It wasn't about me. And he was actually very good about explaining that, by the way. It wasn't about me at all. It was just, you know, and
no,
I just,
but so many people would be like, yeah, but we're like not like that. So you could just still hang out with us.
Well, again, I probably thought something like that, but I realized that wasn't the point at all.
Well, and that's, it's not like he's an idiot and is like, I never thought of that.
Right, that's exactly no, right.
This is an important lesson. Anybody who's listening, who is white, who is, it always gets weird when I say male. I lump myself in with white males. I'm like, I'm kind of trans and I'm kind of bi, but yeah, I'm basically straight white male. So males, especially straight white males, try something out. Say less things. I've been discovering this on a personal level for a while, but politically especially, because there's this constant thing of like, I want to support people of color, and I want to support equality, and I want to support women, and how can I do that? And too often it's like, oh, look, this guy, this white guy is coming in and taking, and I'm like, well, how do you support and not do that? And a lot of times it's just shutting up.
Well, yeah, getting out of their way.
Yes.
Yeah. Usually that's all.
If somebody else is denigrating, you can be like, fuck you. Da, da, da. But I mean, for the most part, just stand there and like clap at the right times. Just be a supportive friend and don't make it about you.
Well, and sometimes you're going to be in a position like Jessica Chastain was with Octavia Spencer working on this movie.
Yeah.
And insisting that you get paid.
Absolutely.
To say, that kind of thing can happen, but usually it's like what
and
you said.
And if you can help, help. But also, ask people if it's okay to help first, because
sure,
sometimes
yeah,
people don't want to help.
That's right.
Sometimes it turns out it's not help, all sorts of things. But I think, focus on the one. Don't say all the things you think you want to or you should. Even if you come up with something really insightful, you know what? If it doesn't seem like the time, if you feel like it would steal focus or whatever, or, as in the case we're talking about, if you feel like the person obviously already knows
yeah,
and
right.
it'd be patronizing, just try not saying shit. You can always say shit later.
I think it's also important for a person to really try not to take things personally. I knew guys in college who would get really upset when if he was walking at night down the street and a woman was walking toward him and she went on the other side of this. And he'd get very offended. And I remember thinking, why are you offended? She doesn't know you. He said, that's just my point. You want her to give you the benefit of the doubt in the middle of the night in a town where, you know, rape is a thing at night in Iowa City? Don't be stupid. You know, this has nothing to do with you. She's doing this
but no, but that's
smart,
also
safe thing.
That's also a male-female perspective thing, because the guy's like, I don't have that problem, though. If I see a guy I don't know, I'm not going to cross the other side of the street.
That's true.
Because they don't, and this is the thing, and I mean, I knew this before, but it's really showing up more. The constant, not even fear, but just need to assess the dangers of violence from men and the dangers of sexual violence
from men.
Well,
not just that, but what's the first...
As a second nature thing.
What's the first thing someone's going to ask her if she does get accosted? Well, why didn't you move to the other side of the street? You know, so it's not just even their own choice to do that. Sometimes it is, of course, but sometimes it's like, well, I better do this because if something happens,
absolutely.
I'll be blamed for not doing
it.
Absolutely. So, I don't know. I mean, just try not to take things personally, I guess, is something I would advise.
And don't
people.
Talk as much.
And don't talk as much.
And I mean it. If you're like, oh, I've been trying to cut back. No, like literally, like one out of every three insightful things you're going to say, just don't say it. I've been working on this.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's very hard to do, but work on it. Pick up the hat, or we're just not even going to get a question in here.
Well,
and then everybody will hate the show.
That's a pretty hard rule to follow, too, because... I mean, even with what I'm saying, I've sometimes found myself talking to, like one time I was visiting, I was going through this Native American museum or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to some of the Native American people there, and I don't remember everything I said, but all I do remember is when I left, I was thinking, God, why did I say that?
Yeah.
Why didn't I just shut my mouth? That was so dumb. Anyway, this is from Beth.
Hi, Beth.
She says, our kitchen is under construction. What meals can you make using only a microwave and or pizzazz? What's pizzazz?
I mean, I don't know for sure this is what she means, but I remember from the old commercial days, it's a type of pizza cooker that's like just a tray and it spins and there's like a heating element, and so as it goes around it heats it. So literally it only heats pizzas, like frozen pizzas, but you can do it.
Well, I imagine if you could use it as a toaster oven then, if you were clever enough.
Yeah, depending on the shape of the thing and whatever, yeah.
I guess.
I mean, that's essentially what it's doing, so yeah. Well, frozen pizza, obviously. it is a pizzazz. Surprising number of things have microwave directions.
Yeah.
A lot of pasta things. You can make mac and cheese.
Yes.
In a microwave. You can do shit you wouldn't think you could do, like, you know, roasts and stuff like that. Doesn't come out the same,
but
you
brownies. Can do
them.
There's brownie recipes that you can make in the microwave.
I've made peanut brittle
in
the microwave.
Sure.
Eggs, as long as you're careful.
Yeah.
My
wife makes eggs in the microwave almost every morning.
But there's also these apps that you can get on your phone where you order food and they bring it to your house. And then you don't have to cook at all. Well, not even the microwave.
When I was growing up, you
don't have children yet. I mean, you know,
when
indulge.
People were really just kind of getting microwaves in their homes.
I assume you don't, Beth. If you do, are pregnant now, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
For the record, I have no reason to believe she's pregnant, so don't be starting nothing. But it'd be weird to not say congratulations if you're pregnant.
When I was growing up and people were first getting microwaves, they were also getting microwave cookbooks.
Oh, yeah.
And I was surprised when I first looked at them. Even back then, it wasn't just... When I first looked at one, I thought, this is just going to tell you how to heat things up. But no, actually cooking things using the microwave. And not just the conventional settings, because some microwaves had conventional settings.
Yeah.
But, like, I was pretty amazed that if you can make it in an oven or on the stovetop, there is some way for you to make it in the microwave.
Yes, it may be super shitty.
Or it might not be.
Yeah, it depends. But, like, breads, for example.
Well, yeah.
People did baked things in the microwave, and those are trouble.
Not as good.
There are tricks you can do for that, but...
But, and that's another thing, is there always seemed to be some kind of trick.
Yeah.
You put them in a napkin, or you'd put them in some kind of glass container in
put
a certain
the microwave
way.
In a traditional oven, set it to 375.
But, yeah, I was pretty amazed at all the things that you could make in the microwave. But what I found, though, was that the whole point of the microwave was, you know, something that would take 30 minutes or an hour is now going to take like 10 minutes or 15 minutes. But to make something exactly
2 hours
prep. You have to prepare it for a really long time to make it come out right in the microwave. I thought, well, that kind of screws that up.
Microwave is one of the old... I love gimmick cooking like that. Like, I was the... Like, because I didn't have cable. So when I finally was, like, staying up too late, or, you know, I was just the sort of kid, like, gotta watch TV, watch something. I watched a lot of infomercials, and I fell for it every time. Like, the fucking Ninja Blender was literally, like, that's just all I was going to use to cook with now. The thing that was essentially a panini press before they had one, and you'd make little pockets of things, like, white bread and a can of apple pie filling, and you can make... Apple turnovers, like everything. Every time they had them, the food dehydrated. I was just going to eat everything dehydrated. I fell for all of those. And now I'm just like, those are so silly. And the weird things you discover, like, every infomercial for a cooking product that you can bake in demonstrates that by making pineapple upside down cake.
Yeah.
And they say, that's like the hardest one to make. And that's why they use that one.
Right.
And years later, I'm like, no, that has to do with the nature of pineapple upside down cake and how it works in relation to, like, convection and humidity and stuff like that. I realized later, I'm like, no, because that's the one guaranteed to come out most likely to look good. Because every single one, I was like, somebody make chocolate.
You didn't have cable?
No.
Wow, that's really unusual.
Didn't have cable.
I mean, I didn't either, but that was in the 80s. So.
We had zero cable. We had entirely rabbit ears. It was a huge deal if we like stayed in a motel or a hotel because they had cable, and that was really cool. Now I go to a motel and hotel, and like, they have so many less channels than I do.
I wanted to ask you something. Is it cool for there to be a show that you can watch, like Portlandia, that's like about where you're from?
That's because of that YouTube you set. Is it cool? I think no, because you know who does not like Portlandia? People who live in Portland. Mm. People like me who lived in or near Portland and now don't anymore think it's hilarious.
Well, there's only been one show that I can remember that was set in Iowa and specifically in Des Moines, and it wasn't for very long. Now, you might remember this show because I don't remember the name of it.
All right, then. It'd be harder.
But if the show was about twin girls.
Okay.
And...
were they black and living with Tim Reed?
No. They were white and blonde.
Okay.
And they were only in Des Moines. They only lived in Des Moines for like a season. And then they gave up on it. Of course, then they gave up on it. And then they lived somewhere else. But I think they only had two or three seasons.
Were they Haley Mills?
No. Right. No, these were real twins.
All right.
Real twin girls. And it was in the 80s. Maybe you won't know. Maybe it was too soon.
I don't remember.
I don't remember the name of it.
The only twins I remember are the Olsen twins, and they were playing one person on Full House.
Yeah.
And Tia and Tamara Mowry, who were on the show with Tim Reed and Jack A.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Sister. And that's it.
This was set in Des Moines. The only other time there was a show, it wasn't in Iowa, but it was shot in Iowa, was Coach.
Oh, yeah, you said.
I told you about that.
The externals, yeah.
Because, and I was almost, I was there when they were filming them. I wish I could have gotten in on that so I could be on the little transitional shots.
I feel like now that I've lived here long enough, I should rewatch Coach and see if I find it at all enlightening now that I know the obsession of college football and like what that genuinely means for like a Big Ten school. It could be fascinating. There's no way it wouldn't be sad, though. And also, Coach was not a very good show, so I probably won't do that. all right, that's it. So weird to just do an episode like a normal person.
Yeah.
Apologies to Kate Mara. might be the title of the episode. I don't know. Black Cat sounds boring, so I don't know. Remember to go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and just lay into us about everything we did wrong.
Yeah.
Need some activity going on. Pick some fights. Start some flame wars. Link shit from 4chan. No, wait, don't do that last one, please. Also like us on Facebook, because who are you to resist? And listen again next week. And go see Black Panther. And if you're lazy and broke, just watch that Elaine Stritch thing on Netflix. It's free. I mean, assuming you're paying for Netflix.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.